I have felt lost on Sunday mornings for over a year now. It just seems like I still put things together, and on Sunday morning I get up, and because I did it for 30 years, I just sit there, and Robbie gets mad at me and says, you know, I didn't do it. I said, well, I know you didn't do it, and I just feel like it's Sunday morning and I'm supposed to be saying something somewhere. So I go out and preach to the Shetland ponies now. Yeah. He makes me go outside and preach to the Shetland ponies with this. But that's okay. My mama said something that came back to my mind when Mike was talking earlier. My mama wasn't all bad. She had a lot of good things to say too. And she said years ago to me something I didn't understand. She said, there's two steps to success that I know of. Don't believe anyone else and don't believe yourself. I don't fully know what that meant then, but I think I'm beginning to grasp it somewhat. Because if I'm not here, how could I be telling lies to myself? I'm going to quit believing y'all and me, and then I'll be all right. A lady messaged me last night, and she said, I want you to know I still believe in God. I said, well, that's all right, but if you believe in him, he's real then. Remember, I was reading the Iliad years ago, and I remember that Homer wrote, it's a quote from the gods in the Iliad that says, we exist only because people believe in us. If they ever stop believing, we will disappear. And I remember that quote from high school. I remember reading that, and I thought it was blasphemy then. So I went on and told my dear sister in the greatest amount of love I could muster up, well, Jesus said, be it unto you according to your word. And God exists if you need him to exist in your mind, on your level, for you. You know, the God in the sky, she still believes in a Hebrew grandpa sitting on a chair. And I said, well, then he's there. Absolutely. And he'll judge you and send you to hell if you don't quit wearing them pants. But depended on which one you've got there. But be it unto you according to your word. And I just, yeah. I love being, using the creative power within us. We're pretty sharp. The things that we've created and imagined and hung out in space and believed in. But my morning reading, I still, you know, we talk about the Bible, but I still read it every day. And I found great inspiration this morning in just a couple of verses in Deuteronomy 25. I was reading that beautiful, beautiful passage where it speaks of a woman who approaches her husband and finds him in a fight with another man, mm-hmm. and grabs the other man by the testicles and they chop her hand off. I just found that so inspirational. And the Bible's full of just wonderful stories like that. That's Deuteronomy 25, 11, and 12, if you want to read it. It was, in fact, a law that Moses made, a law, and said, if a man is in a battle with another man and his wife approaches and grabs the other man by the genitals, she has shamed him and must have her hand cut off.
What was that scripture?
Deuteronomy 25, verses 11 and 12.
What if the man liked it?
Well, Moses made no provision for that. But she gets her hand chopped off. So I wanted to, we believe the Bible is the Word of God, so I wanted you women, I want y'all to be careful not to jump in on a fight your husband may be in and grab his opponent by the balls, or it's over for you. Chopping off the hand. Which, I left my bag back there, and I need my bag.
That's hilarious.
I've got. Well, people want to take it literally, and they want to say it's all God's word, and he said do this and said do that. And I got to thinking about that, and I was meditating on the words of Jesus this morning, and this is so beautiful what the Lord showed me, and Robbie participated in this by loaning me this. You know, Jesus said, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. Gary told me his foot offended him and he cut it off according to the scripture. That's what he told me. And by the way, Gary sends his blessings and wishes. I talked to them, and Carol, by the time they got home, had also succumbed to the same thing. And so they've both been in the bed, but they feel a little better this morning. They said they loved everybody and they're watching. So we love you guys. But Gary's a real Bible man. His foot offended him, he cut it off. And he'll show you the prosthetic if you need to see it. But what did Jesus say about the eye? He said, if your eye offends you, what?
Pluck it out.
And I've often thought, well, how do we do that? Now look, Robbie wouldn't let me practice on him, but if you put that right on the eye, just in the right spot, and screwed that into that eyeball and pulled up on these, you could pluck that eye right out. And as a confirmation, I want you to look. Praise the Lord. praise the Lord. Look, it's like you can see that it's a Christian eye plucker because it praises the Lord. Look at that. So I haven't talked to Mike yet, but his factory is going to begin manufacturing these, and we're going to sell these eye pluckers for $9.95. Praise the Lord.
But and wait, there's more.
There's more.
You can get a second one.
You can get a second one if you order now. And if you can show that you're a Christian, that you get to, because Jesus said, pluck those eyes out if they offend you. So we want to be literalists. Look at him turning his little head while he praises the Lord.
So, and the money from the sale, of course, is used for God's ministry.
Absolutely. We're going to feed hungry children in Eatonton. A faraway city. But I've just got a short word for you this morning. But before I start, I'm really not comfortable preaching to people that are not in line with Scripture. And I want to just be honest about it. I need all the women who are not submissive to leave the room. I'll wait. All women who are not subservient to men and cannot keep silent, you've got to go. I'm sorry. Oh, wait. No, stay. I'll excuse y'all. I'll make one exception there. Anyone who has rebellious children that they did not kill. Because there we go. Okay, I got to go. Any men who have cut their hair on the sides of their head near the temple, you're not welcome. You're not welcome in the presence of the Lord. So this is all Bible. Anyone who's wearing two kinds of material, that cotton polyester blend is not going to fly today. I need y'all to leave. There's we got another one. I see that hand. Just lift your hand. I see that hand. Thank you. Any women on the period? No, y'all too old for that. Yeah. Yeah. But they were, thank God. But oh, there I went. But it was a Bible rule. Moses said it. A woman was unclean if she was on her period. Not only could she not come to the assembly, but she had to leave town to live. Husbands were praising the Lord all over Israel. She's got to leave town. That makes me think of the pirate. A pirate ship, of course.
Yes.
And one of his mates was up there, and he said, "Captain, I want to ask you something." He said, "Ask me anything you want to, matey." He said, "Why is it, Captain, that whenever we're in a battle, you always have me go to your quarters and get your red blouse and put it on? Right, we're starting the heat of a battle. Why do you do that?" And he said, "Well, it's like this. I like to wear me red shirt in case I get stuck and I stop bleeding. I don't want me men to see the blood. So I wear the red shirt so they won't see the blood." Which is, I mean, I'm just thinking it's a good idea to wear red pants, but not y'all younger. But if you're in one of Moses' assemblies, I'm thinking. But he says, I wear my red shirt so nobody will see me blood. Right when they were talking, these three ships came over the horizon with enemy flags flying and cannons pointed. And he said, "Oh my God, Captain, look at that." And the captain said, "Oh, matey, run, get me brown pants." Well, you know, I just... laughter does good like a medicine. Yeah. I stopped at Hardee's on the way over here this morning. They were out of cinnamon biscuits. I cursed them.
I cursed them.
I said, "You will never bake another biscuit in Jesus' name." Because remember, that's what Jesus did with the fig tree.
Yeah.
Now, think about that. Jesus and the boys just walking to town. "Oh, there's the fig tree. Let's get some figs." It wasn't even in season. He knew that. He's Jesus. Yeah. He walks over there. There's no fig tree. No figs on the tree. "I curse you. You will never produce again." I'm not exactly sure if that was love. But it felt like love when I did it at Hardee's this morning. So I'm okay. I'm okay with it. What did Jesus have against fig trees? I don't know. I think figs resemble testicles, and they have a whole sexual thing going on against figs. When Adam covered up with the fig leaf, you know. Well, we'll just stop right there, and I'll get serious now. We have a Loose on the Moose and the Precious Moments section of the Christian bookstore. That's what I have figured out. They talk about a bull in a china shop. Mike is the moose on the loose in the Precious Moments section of the Christian bookstore. And he's knocking over all the little wind-up statues that spin in circles and sing Praise the Lord songs, and I'm loving every bit of it. But I want to tell you something in serious now. Yesterday, And I'm going to say this without crying, but yesterday is the first opportunity I've had in my almost 57 years on this planet to completely let my hair down, be my whole self, tell my whole truth, and talk to a group of people that didn't care. And I thank y'all for that. I mean, I would rather sit right here than in front of 1,000 people I had to lie to. It's the truth. And I want to thank y'all. Dean, thank you for hunting me down when I was about to leave this planet. And thank you for your words. And every one of you, Lee's been hanging around for over 10 years. And every one of you, y'all my family. And I don't have to hide anything in front of you. I'm silly sometimes. And I've got, I have issues past the tissues. But you know what? Y'all accept me. I know that. I feel that from y'all. And I've never felt that ever in my life until now. So thank y'all for that. I need to call Robbie before I start my message, though. I asked Miss Doris if she had a phone. This is what I get. Y'all remember these?
Yeah.
Y'all remember these phones? Isn't that great? A guy was throwing this in the dumpster where I live.
Really?
Throwing it away. I said, why are you throwing that away? He said, it won't work anymore. I said, well, I guess it's time for an upgrade. Now, see, this is, we've gone to this.
Yeah.
But where God's concerned, we're still here.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas most people I know that claim to be Christians and whatnot, they're still trying to call somebody right here. Their grandson's trying to send them a picture on their phone, and they're saying, well, I don't know. My grandson said he sent me a picture on the phone, but I don't see a picture on this phone. It's time for an upgrade, y'all. It's time for us to get something more modern. It's time for, this is not 1611. This is not, no. Whatever King James did then, I'd like to slap him for it. But this is 2017, and we have better capabilities, even of interpreting. We know more now than King James knew. And anybody worth his salt will tell you that there's not a single time in Scripture that any word is ever used that means a place of torment where hell is concerned. That's nowhere in the Bible. And yet hundreds of thousands, millions of people believe it hook, line, and sinker. They're caught up into this religion that's much worse than a crack addiction.
Yeah.
I've been addicted to both. Yeah. My two worst addictions were cocaine and religion, and I've said it many times. One of them stole my mind, stole my money, ruined my life, completely controlled me, and the other one was a white powdery substance. And that's the exact truth. I mean, that is the exact truth. But we need an upgrade. Even Paul was beginning to see it at the end of his life when he said, y'all, Paul would be shocked if he thought those letters he wrote had become something that we worshipped and held up as an idol and idolized and called the Word of God. He was writing letters to his friends. He never intended for anybody to believe that stuff was purely the Word of God. He even says, I say this, but the Lord said that. He knew that he was doing a lot of that talking. And he said that. He said as much. And he even in 2 Corinthians, I mentioned yesterday, he said, the letter kills. It only brings death. Written word can only bring death, even if it's true the day it was written to the people it was written to, in the culture it was written in the moment that it was said by the person it was said from and to. Even if that somehow was truth in that moment of time, it isn't now. And that's what I meant by evolving truth, because of the culture and the time. And you're absolutely right on what you said about the truth that doesn't change. There is that as well. But there are truths that do change. And there were things that, Moses sat on the throne and they brought two people up and said, here's the situation. So he would judge over it and they'd take his word and write it down and it became something. And they said, oh, that's what God said. God never said that stuff. God never said those 600 and something. And we know that in this room. We're coming, and what a wonderful hurdle to have jumped over and to move beyond. But I find myself sometime wanting to make a phone call and I'm here.
Yeah.
When this is in my pocket.
Yeah.
Because I'm relying on this old technology, this old mentality, this old, that was real to me in 1977. Yeah. I mean, I was there in the middle of it, and it did something in my life that I'm not going to take back or shame, but it's no longer applicable. The cord's been cut.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we just pretend,
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm talking to the Lord. Wait just a minute. Oh, sister, I'm so sorry. I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. You ain't praying for nobody. Quit lying to her.
Mm-hmm.
Help her, Lord, if you want to. That's my prayer. Help her, Lord, if you want to.
Help me, Lord, if you want to.
Brother Robert, pray for me. Help him, Lord, if you want to. A, you don't believe there's a Lord listening. B, you don't think help's coming. C, you're not really praying. And so here's where we are, and you know, we've got this available to us, and it's time for us to move on. I dressed Wesley up last night for bed in a pamper. She still wears a pamper to bed, although she wears big girl panties in the day now. And it was one of those zip-up things with footies in it with cartoons on the front of it. And I thought, how cute. I wanted to wear one here today to teach in, but I thought, I don't have one my size for one thing. But that's cute for her.
Yeah.
And it's cute for her right now, but when she's going to the prom, I don't want her to wear that. I mean, we have to at some point move on. And we move beyond what fits one day doesn't fit anymore. And I'm so proud to be in a group of people that seem to all be figuring out that that suit of armor doesn't fit us like it used to. Even if we wore it proudly at some point in time, I preached yesterday, it's time to take off the armor of God.
Yeah.
And it is.
Yeah.
Because when Paul listed those things and told us that that's what we needed, he was talking to the church at Ephesus. And if you want to take that as a word to you, even if you did that and even if you put that on, for that season, darling, you can't climb any higher wearing a coat, a whole suit of armor, and it's time to take that cumbersome stuff off.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful that we've seen that, and we're moving into that knowledge with open arms. We're welcoming it, some folks are, and I'm thankful for that. In 1 Corinthians 3 is where Paul said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, and I understood as a child, and I spoke as a child. I thought like a child and I understood like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And I catch myself 10 times a day speaking childishly about God, about religion, about things that I don't believe in, but my track in my brain has so much terminology and so many words, and I revert back to an old way of thinking, and a lot of it has to do with who I'm with.
Yeah.
If I went and hung out with a bunch of cocaine addicts, I'd probably be doing cocaine. And if I hang out too much with religious folks, man, I can talk it better than them. I'm right in there with them, honey. That's one reason I can't go to church. I can't go sit in the middle of it and not be part of it, because I can do it better than them. I can talk it better than them. I can preach it better than them.
Yeah.
I did that for 30 years or 20-something years. So we're growing up. And it's okay, and this is hard to even say, it's okay for Wesley. If I want her to believe in Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny and the Tooth Fairy, that's fine. Bible God's in the same category in my mind. No, not God. Not love, energy, light, purity, power, union, us, oneness. There's a way to express something bigger than the individual, and I believe in that. But not a Jewish grandpa sitting on a chair in the sky judging right and wrong and punishing and rewarding accordingly. That doesn't exist. And it did in my world growing up because my parents taught it to me. I taught it to my kids, and some of them are still caught up in that. Some of them aren't. I'm not teaching that to Wesley Joe. That one tree in the middle of that supposed garden branches off in different directions, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil has never been a place to eat. Life. We just need to live.
Yeah.
And as we live, you know what the difference is? I had a pastor, a very loved, I mean, he's the guy that actually told me. He's the one person that I shared my sexuality with. And this pastor looked at me and he said, everybody has feelings like that. Shita ba 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 ka ta ba 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 ba. He talked in tongues a lot. He said, and the Lord wants you to marry a woman. You just marry a woman and those feelings will go away. Now, the Lord told me that through this pastor. It's why I married the woman that I married. I loved her as a friend and still do. But I married her because my pastor told me to, and I was in a shepherdship movement. You couldn't pee unless the pastor said you could.
Yeah, yeah.
Or you could pee, but you couldn't shake it unless he said you could. It was like at the end. I mean, if you wanted to buy a car, you asked him and the elders what color was best for you. And if they said buy a white car and you came up with a silver one, they'd blacklist you and wouldn't talk to you at Kroger.
Yeah.
I mean, we were in some strict, crazy stuff back in the day. It was just Joseph Prince movement. Some of y'all might remember the old Joseph Prince. And is it Joseph Prince from Florida? There's another Joseph Prince now preaching, I think. But anyway, back in the old shepherdship movement, I called it. Well, I was involved in that. And we did what the pastor told us. I got married because the pastor told me to and denied who I was. this pastor had a cabin that the church built for him, and we bought him a Mercedes, and we did all the stuff you do when you're in that movement. And in this cabin, we had a little housewarming to buy him decorations. And this is, it was in the 80s, but this is, they had just come out with this little, the pictures that say live, laugh, and love.
Yeah.
And they've been out a while now. But the live, laugh, and love thing, I found it at the mall, and I thought it was a beautiful little plaque, and I bought it for him and wrapped it up. And he shamed me in front of a group of people when he opened it and said, live, laugh, and love. Shouldn't that say ask, seek, and knock? Because he was so religious and so tied up with spiritual things. And that live, laugh, and love was fleshly. Mm-hmm. He explained to me later. He said, that's all about the flesh.
Yeah.
Living and laughing and loving. He said, now what would be more appropriate is ask, seek, and knock. Because we don't want to do anything unless we ask the Lord. And seek His will and knock on heaven's door. And he gave me that bullshit. But which is exactly what it is. I'm in that light. I believe in asking, you know, get that. But now I realize that my philosophy has changed. At some point, my philosophy was ask, seek, and knock. And now my philosophy is live, laugh, love, eat, laugh some more, use the bathroom occasionally, have fun, visit with friends, live, laugh, and love. And that works so much better than walking on eggshells and asking and trying to find the will of an unseen space God who could easily reveal himself if he wanted to. I mean, if he parts seas and causes floods to cover the whole earth and makes angels appear, he could poke his head through a cloud at any time and say, woo, I'm real. Fox News would carry it. CNN might not, but Fox News... And I watch CNN, by the way, but they'd say it was the Russians, but I know. But God could do, if there was a God sitting there in the sky and wanted to end all doubt, well, let me just pull back the clouds for a minute and say, you, I'm real, like me, love me, serve me, I'll kill you if you don't, close the curtains. Then there'd be no more questions. Okay, but it didn't happen that way, did it? No, because we got to believe by faith, the same way we believe fairy tales. Look what I got for you. Got something. I'm y'all gonna get to see something that I've never done this before. I'm not sure how it's gonna come out. I'm gonna try to do it. Work with me, people. I gotta have my background music here. Here it is. I wrote a rap for you. Now, I'm not a good rapper. I've never rapped before, and I can't really do this one because I can't stand up. I got a bad leg, and I don't want to grab myself in front of women. So it's not going to be a good rap, but it has a good message to it. This is my rap music. Don't do me that way. That's good music here, too. Hope y'all can hear that at home. Here it comes. You got to feel it. Oh, yo. Y'all got a part in this. In a minute, y'all got to say, Shalabala Honda Shalabala. Shalabala Honda Shalabala. Oh, yeah. One. Mm-hmm. See, when you're rapping, you say random words. One. Yeah. Don't look, I'm going to grab myself. I don't know why you do that when you're rapping. You're supposed to. But here we go. This is good. God's armor. Yeah. Yeah, one. Here we go. I went to the altar and I prayed their prayer. They told me Jehovah would meet me there. Before I even made it home, they called and said, put God's armor on. Put it on, Shalabala, Honda Shalabala. Shalabala, Honda Shalabala. Shalabala, Honda Shalabala. Shalabala, Honda Shalabala. They said the devil is after you, shooting fiery darts, that's what he gonna do. You need God's breastplate, helmet and shield, if you ever gonna make it in the battlefield. Put on your shoes and grab your sword, God's full armor, praise the Lord. Put it on, Shalabala, Honda Shalabala. 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 My brother Jesus said his burden was easy. My homeboy promised his load was light. Guess he never tried to wear God's armor. Something in my spirit said, this ain't right. This ain't right. Here we go. This ain't right. Shalabala, Honda, shalabala, ain't right. Shalabala, Honda, shalabala, ain't right. Shalabala, Honda, shalabala, ain't right. Shalabala, Honda, shalabala. I wore it for a decade or two or three, but the heavy load, it got the best of me. Though the deacons told me this was how to prevail, I got tired and weary and I started to fail. I fell on my face and I cried to the Spirit. The answer came and it was so good to hear it. Preachers condemned me. The deacon scoffed. My heart spoke up and said, take it off. Take it off, honey. Honda shalabala, take it off, shalahala. Honda shalabala, take it off, shalabala. Honda shalabala, take it off. Oh, take that armor off. Honda shalabala, shalabala. Take the armor off. Too heavy now. Can't wear it no more, no more. Shalabala, honda shalabala, take it off, shalabala. Honda, take it off, shalabala. Honda shalabala, I can't wear. Well, it's all more anymore. No, no, no. Didn't we do a good rap, brother? Yeah. Now, I've never tried rapping before, but at breakfast this morning, I thought, you know what? I'm going to rap today about taking the armor off. So we did. I'm wrapping up. I love the story where David committed suicide in the Bible. Now, unless you have eyes to see, you don't realize he did. But the whole story of David and Goliath, it was David killing himself. Because the giant's you. The whole deal in that story, it wasn't a Philistine. It wasn't outside. All that happened within David. Every bit of that did. And the story goes in the Bible, the Israelites are fighting against the Philistines and they have a champion and they can't find one. And David shows up to feed his brothers some cheese and wine because they were having a little fear and party at the same time. And he says, what's this giant over here? And they say, well, he's, you know, threatening us and we can't do nothing about it. And David said, a fox came, I killed it, a bear came, I killed it, a lion came. I can do this, I can handle this. So David, and again, this is all happening inside David as it happens inside each one of us. The story tells us that he goes and he gets five smooth stones out of the river. So out of your belly flows rivers of living water, and the stones are stones of revelation that we each get from our own experience, not from somebody else's, but we have those stones. And we use those stones to kill the giant, which is the ego or the identity, ourself that stands there and opposes us. The only thing that can oppose you really is you. Not God, not the devil, not somebody else. There is nobody else. Yeah. And there isn't a you. So we have to kill the you so you know that it's dead. So here's the story of David's suicide where he kills himself, which is what we're going to do, but not literally. Because then we'd be a cult group. We're going to keep living after we eat the applesauce. We're staying here. But if there's applesauce for lunch, don't eat it. I'm just saying. So what happened? The great revelation of that, when he threw the stone, it says it sunk into his forehead. Uh-oh. That's where it's got to sink into. And people think it sunk into the giant's forehead. It sunk into David's forehead. That's how he won the victory. When it finally sunk into his forehead that giant is dead. He didn't even have to have a battle. It sunk into his forehead. And when this thing sinks into your forehead, that's when the suicide is complete and you are no more. Yeah. And you begin to see the existence of that which is real. Instead of this facade that we all put up in our individual identities and giving that same, all you characters in my play, I made you all up. Yeah. I wrote this play and y'all are all supporting casts for me and there's really none of us. This is my, y'all can't see the play the way I see it. You see your own play. I'm a cast member in your play. Mm-hmm. And none of it's real. And when we finally have the curtain call and see the one light that's left in the room, it isn't us. It isn't me. It's us. It's all. Anyway, however you want to interpret that. But you remember what happened before David went down the hill to get those stones before the battle? Saul tried to dress him up in what? His own armor. And there's our first lesson, that you can't wear somebody else's armor. You can't wear Saul's armor. You can't wear God's armor. Yeah. I hope my message hasn't been blasphemous to you to take off the whole armor of God, but David knew that. He was a kid. But going down that hill, he couldn't prove it. It was too heavy for him. It was too, the whole Christian doctrine, the whole helmet of salvation and shield of faith and sword of the Spirit and breastplate of righteousness and loins girded about with truth. It's too much to carry. You don't have to. God never intended for you to be under all that heaviness and bondage. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, and we made it as heavy and hard as we could possibly make it. His yoke is easy and his burden is light, but don't touch alcohol. His yoke is easy, his burden is light, but don't even say a word in jest. That's my Ephesians 5:4, that pastor I told you about, quoted to me over and over again because I was funny. And he'd say, Ephesians 5:4, say no foolish jesting.
Really?
I wasn't even allowed to foolishly jest. I couldn't even joke. Then that's who I was. That, as far as that, I didn't know how to express myself. That's how I grew up in my family. The stuff that went on, I had to see it funny or either I'd explode, I guess.
That's right.
But I wasn't even allowed to be me. And the same. And so, hey, you can't wear somebody else's armor. You can't be what anybody expects you to be, including God. If you've got a God that you think expects you to be a certain way and you're living your life trying to be who you think God wants you to be, you're in bondage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you're wearing armor that is too heavy for you to wear. Quit trying to be what God wants you to be. That's BS. Be who you are with all your might. And it takes no effort whatsoever. It's like a flower blooming. I can't believe even in the wintertime, Wesley said, I want some flowers. Last time we were here at Miss Doris's, we picked some azalea blooms and we carried them all the way back to Georgia and stuck them in a jar. And she relates flowers to this place. And guess what we did? We found flowers yesterday. There was camellias and dandelions. And she found another flower. I can't even think what it was, but we carried flowers back to the motel. And that's the way we are. We're effortless little buds that are blooming. We're being watered by the Spirit and the love of each other. And we're blooming. And it's effortless. The flower doesn't do anything to bloom. It just bees. Mm-hmm. It just bees who it is, bees. What it is. It just sits there and blooms. And isn't it lovely? Isn't it wonderful to see buds turn into blooms? I have a lot of kids. In the Bible it said, be fruitful and multiply. I was a good Christian. That's the only commandment I was really good at. So I have a lot of kids. But I've taken the pressure off my kids recently. And me and God are a lot alike in this respect. That God that so many people hold up, me and God are a lot alike. We both have a lot of kids. I wrote, my kids don't talk to me so much anymore. But that's okay. That's the way it's supposed to be. We outgrow fathers. We outgrow gods.
Yeah.
We outgrow having to ask somebody's permission or their opinion about everything. We grow up. We put away the need to always see what Daddy wants. My kids have put that away. And God's feelings might be hurt by this as well. Because mine are a little bit. That God that we have created. I gave them my DNA and I gave them some good training. But really I wanted them to be independent. Yes. I wanted them to not need me. I never wanted them to have to call me 6 times a day and ask me what to wear and how to help them. And I really want them to go live their own life. I don't imagine this from God's viewpoint now. I don't want a bunch of kids talking to me all the time. I feel selfish sometimes when they call and say, we're coming to see you. And I think, oh, really? Okay. Come disturb my peace. No, I love to see my kids come, and I really love to see them go.
Yes.
Well, there's that God you created. He don't need you to pray to Him 63 times a day or 3 times a day and ask His advice on everything. Grow the hell up. And do what you need to do. Do what you feel like doing. Don't seek the will of your natural father either. If you're a grown person calling your daddy every day to ask him if you should do this or that, something's wrong with you. And you need to grow up from that. Not, you know, I'm not trying to hurt you or offend you. Maybe you have a sweet father that you like to confide in. And there's nothing wrong with getting good counsel or advice. But you can't be totally dependent on a father figure, whether it's an invisible Jewish God or whether it's daddy down the road. I want them to be independent. I need them to be okay without my constant help. I desire success for them. When they were little, They used to wear my shoes. My kids would put my shoes on. I know yours did too, and walk around the room. And my, they'd, well, since I was a preacher, I wore neckties. It's like a noose when preachers are really being hung. Right. But I'd put a tie on. So my sons and some of my daughters, they'd put a necktie on, and they'd get my Sunday shoes on and scoot around the house. And sometimes they'd step up on the fireplace mantle and play like they were preaching. They would mimic me. They'd wear my clothes. I remember my son put on one of my suit coats one time, and it drug all the way on the floor. And he walked around the living room because he was daddy. And that kind of touched me in a way. But you know what? They don't want to wear my clothes anymore. No. One of them was at the house recently, and I had some shirts I wasn't wearing them. I offered them, and he just looked at me like I was crazy, like he would wear my shirts. Would Jake want your wardrobe, Bruce? You know, probably not. Probably not. Well, it kind of hurt my feelings because they were perfectly good shirts, but then I understand they don't need to wear my clothes.
Yeah, that's right.
They need to wear their own clothes. You don't need to wear God's clothes. You need to wear your own clothes.
Yeah.
You don't need the Christian label or Christian Dior.
Yeah.
You know, whichever one. You don't need that label in your clothes. You're perfectly capable of making your own tapestry and putting it on and dressing yourself up so beautifully. It was cute when my kids did that, but you know what? They put away childish things. When they come to see me now, they don't dress up in my clothes and walk around the room.
Yeah.
They just don't do that anymore. Soon I'm going to be gone from them altogether. But at the same time, they'll never, ever escape my presence. They'll never, ever, ever be shed of me, as my daddy used to say. They'll never be shed of me. I'm in their laugh. I'm in their cry. I'm in their weakness. I'm in their strength. I'm in their profile. I'm in their gait. I'm in their sense of humor. I'm in their mirror every time they look at it. They can never escape the real me. But the image that they had of me as a father disappeared. I helped with that. I made some decisions and I helped with that. But they lost the image of their dad. And I thought it was the most tragic thing in the world. And guess what? They're better off without me. They have stepped up to a place that they never could have in my shadow. If I had stayed in West Georgia, my son would not be the amazing pastor he is. None of them would be, and he's a good one. He's one of the good ones. The people there that I walked away from, because I had to at the time, were better off without me.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You're going to be better off without your God.
Yeah.
That's scary if you've had him since, you know, first song you learned was Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, and keep you Jesus. He's a good friend. I understand that. Wesley sings, he's got the whole world in his hand. I said, who does? And she said, you. I said, we're just making this clear. And I want to apologize. I've missed some things up here. My mama used to say, if there was a God, that was one of her expressions that she would say, if there was a God, and then she'd throw in her whatever. I made up a little list. I'm going to close with my little list and one last thought. I made a little list up yesterday. If there was a God, I'd be complaining about President Bernie Sanders right now. If there was a God, there wouldn't be 4,200 different religions in the world.
Yeah.
You know, if there was a God, I wouldn't have buried 130 people, including 8 family members with cancer. My list gets more serious. If there was a God, no child would ever be lonely, afraid, or hungry, abused, or neglected on this planet. Okay? Did you know 15,000 a day are dying of starvation right now? That bothers me.
Yeah.
If there is a God that could do something about that and isn't doing it, well, I don't have much use for him, honestly.
That's right.
If there's a guy sitting on a chair